I'm going to be speaking to you this morning on the subject of the kingdom of God is within you. I'm going to read a couple of passages of scripture. This would be our text. If you want to turn there, you can find Luke, Gospel of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. I'm going to read a couple of verses, verse 20 and 21. And verse 21 is the text. Luke chapter 17, verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." In other words, he's saying there, it's not coming very obviously so that everybody could be able to see it and would find themselves in it at this time or at the time he was speaking. But it was coming in a spiritual manner. And that's what he's talking about when he says in Luke chapter 17, verse 20, 21, "Neither shall they say the kingdom of God, lo here or lo there." In other words, it's over here or it's over there. Come here, come there, and then you can get to the kingdom of God. He said, "Behold," and that word "behold" means to look, with to be able to see with understanding. It doesn't just mean to be able to see with your eyes, but it means to have some understanding. To behold means literally to consider, to think about it. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. And that's what we want to be talking about to you this morning. Since the creation of man on this earth and his fall, there's actually been a battle going on between God and Satan over who's going to control the people on this earth and which we've been born into. We've been born into the kingdom of this world. God, of course, is one through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. However, the victory over this world, the flesh and the devil, has not been manifested completely in this physical, material world. We don't see that kingdom as it's going to be, as described in the book of Revelations when Jesus comes on this earth and sets up his earthly kingdom in Jerusalem, and all the nations of the world are going to flow into that kingdom. Right now, it's all over the world, but it's in the spiritual realm. When we pray, "Thy will be done on earth and heaven," we're praying for, praying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." We're praying to see that visible kingdom. That's how he wants us to pray. That's what he wants. But in the meantime, we're going through a time when, as the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, he has delivered us. Who, Jesus, God's Son, has delivered us from the power of darkness. That doesn't mean we're going to be delivered to come in this sense. We are one of these days going to be delivered from these bodies. And amen? The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise. He's coming back and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. In other words, those that believe in him, their bodies are... The earth, I like to call it our earth suit that we're in. Man is a spirit created in the image of God and is a spirit being, so he can have relations with a spirit being. We're in a physical body so we can see one another and know one another. Amen. But this body is subject to death, and it's going to be laid in the grave. But the spirit that's been born again and knows the Lord Jesus Christ and has professed Him as Lord and Savior, and that's how, incidentally, we enter the kingdom of God right now. The Bible says if we will confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus, and that's what each of us has to do, we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, that is, make Him Lord of our lives, and believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, we'll be saved. That happens now when we do that. The Bible also says, therefore, because that scripture is true, that if any man or any woman or boy or girl who's confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, their body becomes the habitation of God through the Spirit. And we're born again. And we're not just the being that we used to be, but therefore the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. I pray that has happened to you. And if it hasn't, it can. Because God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. And also because God is not willing that any man should perish, but that every person should become a child of God. Amen? That's God's will. He wants that for you. And so, and I just need to say this here, because the enemy hates you, and Satan, who is now little g God, he's kind of in control of the world system to a degree, not that he's in control of it completely and totally altogether, but when God created Adam and Eve, He gave Adam and Eve control over everything in their world, and He named all the He named everything. I mean, Adam did, and gave him control. But Satan knew that if he could deceive Adam and Eve and get them to listen to him and do what he told them to do, then he would get Adam's control, and then he would be in control. And we know that happened, right? The Bible said it happened. That's how we know. So when we're born into this world, we're born into what the Bible calls the kingdom of power and darkness. And we're born under the control of Satan. In fact, he tells us in Acts chapter 26, verse 18, that to those of us who have had our eyes opened, that is, we've called upon the Lord and asked Him to come into our hearts and lives, and He'll turn us from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those which are sanctified by faith that is in Me. That's what Jesus said. Amen? Amen. So, that's what we experience as we come into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within you. Another thing, there's some things that He teaches us about the kingdom of God being within us, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time in it, but I want you to understand that, you know, it's because of religion, and there's just a whole lot of religions in this world because the god of this world, Satan, has created all kinds of doctrines and religions because he's a deceiver and he's a thief, and he loves to steal and to kill and to destroy. And so the Bible says, he has blinded the minds of the people of this world so that they cannot see. Jesus came and said, I am the light of the world. And he came so that we could see. And the first thing that we need to see is who we are without Christ, because if we don't understand what's going on and what's happened to us, and we don't understand the kingdom of this world that we've been born in, and who's actually in control and trying to manipulate us, control us, then we won't understand our need for repentance. We won't understand that we're lost. We won't even know what that means. And so, consequently, we won't be saved. And that's why God sent His Son, the light of this world, and He said, and He claimed, Jesus did, when He came, He said, I am the way, not one way or many ways. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And He said, nobody can come to the Father but by Me. And that's why it's not a matter of religion. It's not a matter of do's and don'ts and keeping commandments and abstaining from food and eating and drinking or not eating and drinking. It's a matter of receiving and confessing that we want the Lord Jesus Christ be Lord in our lives. We want Him. Now, I realize that most of us, when we come to the Lord, I know I did. I didn't really understand religion. I joined a church when I was like 12 years old, and from that point on, by the time I hit teenage, I lived like the devil. My church member didn't. I was still a member of the church, but Jesus Christ wasn't my Lord, and I didn't even know what that meant. All I knew is that my junior class teacher, I don't remember the man's name now, he had about 11 or 12 of us boys in his Sunday school class, and he told us we needed to go join the church and get saved. So that Sunday morning, I think his whole class, I was one of them. I don't know how many of us went down there, but we all went down there. Right? Now, the Bible said, suffer little children to come unto Me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. So I don't know. I didn't experience anything. I didn't feel anything. But I believe that all of us boys, because God said, suffer little children to come unto Him and forbid them not, if they didn't know Him at that time and they didn't get saved at that time, they did somewhere down the road, because they made a choice as a little child that I want God, I want Jesus to be my Savior. And so later on, when I was 19, I had a preacher preach a sermon, and I said, boy, I need to get saved. I need to know what it means to know Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. And this is what I need to do. So I came to church kind of like this. You know, I kind of always sit on the back pew as far away from the preachers I could get. And I came down to the altar on this side of the church, and I knelt down, and I don't even remember what I said exactly. But I did call on Jesus Christ as my Lord and ask Him to come into my life. And I haven't been perfect since then by a long shot. But I was born again that day. Amen. And my life changed, and I knew it had changed. And I never have been the same since. And that's I'm going to tell you how old I am. I've been around for a long time, let me tell you. Most of you know how old I am anyway. So, and I haven't been the same. Now, I haven't been perfect. Because the Bible tells us that after Jesus Christ comes into our lives, we have to grow. Everybody say grow. I'm growing a little bit here. I'm what you call a full gospel preacher. I need to stop. But people keep putting food in my face. And I keep eating it. So pray for me. Anyway, God changed my life. And there's some times that, and so as a matter of fact, there was one time because I didn't grow in the grace and knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus. Now I did have I felt His Spirit. And it wasn't very long after that I committed my life to Him and asked Him to save me that I felt something going on in a strange service on a Sunday night. It was really strange. I'd never felt anything exactly like that. So I went and talked to the associate pastor who was preaching that Wednesday night, and I asked him, I said, What's going on? What's happening? Why am I feeling the way I'm feeling? He said, well, you need to go talk to the pastor. And so I called my pastor. I was in the Air Force at the time, and we were going to a church in Victoria, Texas. And so I called the pastor and said, I'd like to meet with you. And he said, well, come meet with me. And so I think it was another Wednesday night I went and met with him. Anyway, I met with him and talked to him, and I said, something's going on in my life I don't really understand. And feel like God wants me to do something. And I don't know. And he said, well, Lewis, God's probably calling you to enter the ministry. I said, you think so? Then my knees really began to knock together. Not anything like they began to knock together the first time he said, I want you to come preach. They didn't just knock together. Then they passed each other and I almost fell over. So he said, all you have to do is just come to the front on a Sunday morning and tell them that you feel like God has a call on your life and He wants you to do something for Him. And back then you had to surrender in that particular denomination. You had to surrender to be a missionary to Africa, to China, or Timbuktu somewhere. Or you had to surrender to be an evangelist or a preacher or a teacher. And I told him, I don't know what He wants me to be. I really don't. He knows what He wants me to be, so I'm just going to surrender to Him. Well, to them, that meant I was called into the ministry. So a few Wednesday nights later, he said, I want you to come preach. Or it may have been a Sunday night. Anyway, it was passing out time. I nearly fainted. Over that one. But I learned that not only did God call me into the ministry, but that He was with me. And that I belonged to Him. That He was my Heavenly Father. And I immediately had a tremendous desire to get into the Bible, the Word of God, and start reading it and studying it. And I had to have a regular Webster's dictionary, and I had to have a regular Bible dictionary, and then I had the King version of my Bible, And so needless to say, it took me a long time to get through a few scriptures in the Bible because I had to, first time, look up the English word. And what does that word mean? Not even counting the Bible words that I didn't understand. I had to have a Bible dictionary. So I started studying. And I didn't realize that that written word, that Bible, was God's bread. And then if I was going to grow, I needed to get a hold of that as much as I possibly could and read as much of it and understand it and begin to start applying it in my life so I could grow in the love and the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I like to use this as an illustration because my wife and I got married about that same time. And we thought we loved one another. You with me? We enjoyed one another's company. Loved to hug one another. But it didn't take us long to find out we didn't both agree on everything. Are you with me? There were some things that I didn't agree with her on, and there were some things she didn't agree with me on, and so there were some times whenever we had a tug of war, to put it politely. We went through that adjustment period of our love being tested. You hear me? Tested. To really see if we did want to be with one another for the rest of our lives. After all, it was said and done. We decided we did want to be with one another because we did really love one another. We just didn't get along all that well. But we learned how to get along. And I hate to admit this, but sometimes I had to let her be boss. Are you with me? I mean, not boss necessarily, but what she wanted. I had to be willing to go along with her. And I found out that, like the Bible said, God's word was true. When you get a wife that loves you or a husband that loves you, what do you get? Not a boss or just a mate. You get a helpmate. Someone who is together. And you begin to realize that what affects you affects her, and what affects her affects you. And so, and that your marriage literally represents a relationship between Jesus Christ and the church, his body, his bride. And that you become one. And that after that, you begin to realize that you are together as one. And one, whatever one does and whatever the other one does affects our whole lives. And then, not long after that, we had a son and then two daughters. And not long after that, they become teenagers. And then, boy, we had all kinds of problems. I was glad I had a helpmate. Especially with the daughters. They're not here this morning, right? My son wasn't much help either, let me tell you that. They learned what everybody else already knew, that PKs, that is, preacher's kids, are the worst people you can ever be around. Because they're not glad their dad and their mom and dads are in the ministry and their dad's a preacher. They're going to go out to prove that they're not a part of that group at all. Are you with me? So, after a lot of trials and many ups and downs and a lot of prayer, I found out it didn't make any difference what I did, what we did, we couldn't change them. But we knew somebody who could. And so we just started praying. And after that, they all got into the ministry. It took a while, but they were saved, and their lives were changed, and they surrendered their lives to the ministry, and they're serving God. Teaching, preaching the Bible, that wasn't my doing. If you'd have known them when I knew them, you'd have thought what my best friend thought about me, the one I used to run around, he's 3 years older than I was. I looked up to him. I was 14, he was 17, 15, he was 18. He had a car he could drive. In fact, his father was a superintendent of schools here in Ingleside. And he heard, he and his wife were living, I had gone off to the military, so we'd lost contact with each other. He went off to college. But when we started this church, he said, somebody told him, Lewis Cowan is pastoring a church. He said, say again? And I said, he said, Lewis Cowan is pastoring a church. He said, Lewis Cowan is pastoring a church? I've got to go hear that man. And he did. He came to this church. He and his wife got saved. He became a secretary treasurer. Served the Lord. And we were best friends again. But now we were on the same page. And we were in the same kingdom. So, what I want you to understand is, in closing, the kingdom of God is within you. It's within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And so if you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the kingdom of God is within you. You have been born again and you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know how long that's been or how much you've grown. In the physical, natural realm, we don't have to do much. We just eat and breathe and drink a little water and we'll grow. You with me? This happens. In fact, if you don't grow, something's wrong. I'm looking at different people here. You're not the same as you were when you were 5 years old. I hope not. You grow. But in the spiritual realm, it's a little bit different because if we're going to feed the spiritual man, the new creation that we are in Christ, we have to get into the Word of God and we have to get it into fellowship with other Christian people and we have to remember that our bodies is the habitation of God through the Spirit and that God is in us and that we don't just have to go to church and do a bunch of do's and don'ts and rules and regulations. We are the children of God and we're birthed that way. We're born that way. We're not doing something to be that way. We are that. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. But we do have to grow. It's just like a man and woman, they get married. Like I was referring to my wife and I, we had to grow in our understanding and our love. We loved one another, but we had to grow in our understanding of one another and learn how to get along with one another and how to agree with one another and to grow in our love and knowledge of one another, especially after we had kids, children. You with me? And so that's the same thing that's happened to you. If you've been born again by the Spirit of God, you got to get in the Word of God. That's your bread. That's your living water. That's what makes you grow. Without that, you can't grow. And you say, well, I don't understand. Well, you don't have to understand all. You understand thee, thou, me, who, we, Jesus, what? You know, you understand that. And if you don't understand some of it, get you a Bible dictionary and try to understand some of it that way. But get into the Word of God, because you don't realize, but that's feeding your spirit being. And that's allowing your spirit being, our spirit being, to grow and to understand. And that's how we become more knowledgeable, because we realize that Jesus Christ is our Lord, and that our bodies are the habitation of God through the Spirit, and that He lives in us, and that we can talk to Him anytime we want to. I don't have to come to a church. My body is His temple. I don't have to go to a temple. My body is His temple. And so is your body if you've been born again. And when you recognize that, just that very fact alone is that God is with you and He's in you, and wherever you go and whatever you do and whatever you say, and let me say something else, whatever you think, He knows everything there is to know about you and about us and about me. And God knows I hadn't been perfect. I'm still not perfect. I hate to bust your bubble. But I have grown in the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I don't just deliberately go out and try to offend Him or hurt Him or to grieve or to quench His spirit, because I want Him to be my friend. I need His advice. I need His leadership. I need His guidance. Amen? So I want you to understand that. Let's stand. It's not me that's wanting you to understand that. It's God. God wants you to understand that. Remember, as you're driving down the road in your automobile, or as you're sitting in your desk in your office, or you're whatever you're doing in your particular job, if you're a nurse or whatever you are, just a housewife or whatever, wherever you are, you can talk to God anytime. And He hears you. And so talk to Him. And just say, Lord, I don't know if You understand me or not. I don't know what's going on, but Your Word says, my body is Your temple, that You live in me, and I belong to You, so just help me. Help me to understand what that means. Help me to understand Your Word. Help me to, whatever you're having a problem with, you can. He tells you, as one of His children, and me, all of us, whatever is worrying you, whatever is concerning you, whatever is bothering you, it doesn't just have to do with religion, it has to do with your job, it has to do with your wife or your husband or your children or your relationship with yourself or your relationship with others. Cast all, everybody say all. All your cares upon Him. He says, cast all your cares upon me. I care for you. Not only does He care for us all, He knows what's going on and He knows how to help us all. And He's concerned about anything that concerns you or anything that bothers you. As a matter of fact, He wants you to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, so He can talk to you in your mind. And if you have a lot of things coming into your mind that are ungodly things or things that you don't want there, guess who puts them there? The God of this world, not Jesus. And so He says, to you and to me, put off the old man. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Put off the old person. Put on the new person. That's something we have to do. And that's how we grow. Are you ready for some physical food now? We're going to have some of that back here. So, Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for every precious person here. Lord, we thank you that you love us all. You know all about us and love us anyway. You loved us before we even, and while we were yet sinners. We hadn't done anything good or at all or bad or whatever. You loved us when we were yet sinners. You sent your son to die for us. So we realize that all we have to do is just come to you and say, Lord, forgive us. You're my Lord. I want you to take over in my life. I need your help. I need your strength. I need your forgiveness. I need your mercy. Thank you, Father, for doing that in Jesus' name. And then bless the food in the back and all those that prepared it and brought it, Lord, is making a nourishment to our bodies. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. See you next Sunday.